The question was asked in James 2:19. Do you believe that God is one? We can shorten that to, do you believe that God is? Scripture replies, the demons also believe and shudder. It's not surprising that demons are aware of the deity of Jesus Christ. Today on Scanning Bible Church podcast, Elder Keith Barker shares with us that it's the one topic denied by Satan in all non-Christian cults, and that it's the pivotal truth which unlocks the heart of unbelievers to the fact that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. That step of belief is done by faith, which is the topic of today's message. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church podcast for Sunday, August 1st, 2010. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now let's join Captain Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, Faith.
We're going to, among other things today, visit an Osmot village called Ochinep. We're not going to get there right away. This is something I brought from Ochinep. The carvings, some of you that have an awareness of primitive art, semi-Stone Age peoples, you might be interested in looking at these more carefully. I cut it in two, which might have seemed like a terrible thing to do, but there wasn't any other way of presenting it, so don't tell any Osmots. So, some poor soul put a lot of hours carving that, so Keith cut it in two. We've talked about cannibals before. Children, remember what cannibals eat? That I call a missionary for lunch bunch. And this is, as you can imagine, you wouldn't want to get hit with that. So, what other decorations do I have? This is a victory tale from the Sawi tribe. And if you killed someone in battle, you got to wear this at night during the dance. So, it probably should be in a museum, but here it is here. So, that's a victory tale. And there's the necklace that I wore in the jungle, made out of pig teeth. At least the straight ones are pig teeth. The curved ones, these people know teeth. And for your interest, I've never seen a missionary man without his shirt on. It's hot. It's a jungle. I didn't wear a shirt. What? Didn't go over real well. And missionaries also don't wear tusk necklace, but that's what happens when you send a hippie drag racer to the mission field. So there I am. And when I get it back in the backcountry with the people, they knew that these were the front teeth off of a pig. They're those teeth. But they didn't know what the curved ones were. They'd say, Bugamani, ini, apa ini. What is missionary? What is this? And I'd say, ini loud ikan bazar. Loud ikan bazar came from a big fish in the ocean. Adu, they'd say. You don't have to translate adu. It's adu. They know catfish in the swamp. They don't know a fish in the ocean. It came out of a seal that would have curved teeth like that. So anyway. Well, I'm having fun. Stay with me. This is a spear. This is part of a spear. I had to bring it back on the airplane. Before days of 9/11, you could do such things. And it's about that long, really. I had to cut it in two. And this is a people spear. You can imagine if you're speared, you don't pull it out, you don't push it through, and it's ironwood. You don't break it off. So you're speared for life. And from here on down is the toenail off a cassowary, a big bird like an ostrich. And yes, they can kill you with a kick. So we're going to talk a little bit about the jungle tribes today. We'll save the rest of that for later. All right, get to your message, Keith. So you remember last time I spoke, we talked about what? The second coming of the Lord. And we discussed that today is the day of salvation, and you'll remember the latte lady. Woo! Don't be late. When the ship of salvation sails, you need to be there ahead of time. All right, I think I'm pretty well ready here. Well, today we're going to talk about faith. Faith, as it were, is the gangplank that puts you on the ship of salvation. Don't need that. Faith is fundamental to Christian creed and conduct, for we are saved by faith. Faith, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are we saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone could boast. As Christ talked to people and healed them, he looked for the characteristic of faith in each one. For the Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7, 26, she had the demon-possessed daughter. He found a persevering faith. The centurion of Matthew 8, 8 to 10, he had a servant that was paralyzed. Jesus found a humble faith. The blind man, Mark 10, showed an earnest faith. What would you have me do for you? I want to see. An earnest faith. And Daniel, of course, manifested a daring faith in the book of Daniel. Faith is confidence in God that leads us to believe in his word. By faith, we receive Jesus as our Savior and confess him to the world. We have a 7-point outline today. Once again, thanks to Dr. Alvin Douglas, missionary to China. Our 7 points will begin with a definition of faith. We'll go to the necessity of faith, the nature of faith, the source, the object, the principle, and the result of faith. 7-point message. Before we begin, can we pray together, please? Father, I don't want to stand here and fill the air with sound, but we're asking that by your Spirit you might communicate here, that you allow us to further understand this wonderful gift of faith and the necessity of it. So I give you this time and myself as your servant in Christ's name. Amen. Our first point is the definition of faith. Right out of the dictionary, faith is belief, trust, fidelity, or loyalty to a creed or religion. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We relax, and without looking, by faith, we put our trust on a chair with confidence that it's going to hold us. We are exercising our faith. Faith is simple enough for a child to grasp. We're trusting little Julia, well, at a young age, come into the kingdom. But it's deep enough for the wise to not comprehend fully or explain satisfactorily. Many university professors of religion have no concept of what Christianity is really about. Faith is not the blind act of the soul. Faith in God rests upon the best of evidence, the infallible Word of God. Faith is trusting in the God of the Scriptures and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith that saves is a personal faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. So our first point, the definition of faith, and our second point already, the necessity of faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. There can be no dealings with the invisible God without faith in his existence. We must believe that he exists. This confidence is called faith. Just as I turned and put all my confidence in that chair, so also we put our confidence in God. It's an exercise of faith. There can be no, we read that already. Faith is necessary for salvation. Acts 16:31 says, believe and be saved. That's exercised or applied faith. The nature of faith, there are two kinds of faith in regards to salvation. There's a head belief and there's a heart belief. The head belief is the knowledge of the historical Christ and a general acceptance of the Bible. That's your intellect. That's a head belief. The heart belief is a faith from the heart causes a person to act on his faith. Acts 16:31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's a caution. We don't want to have faith in our faith. We have faith in Christ. There's a big difference. Not faith in our faith. True faith in Christ is believing to the extent of receiving Christ. John 1:12, yet to all that received him, to those that believe in his name, to them gave he the right to become children of God. Neither knowledge nor assent is true faith, but true faith involves appropriation. When Peter was in the boat, Jesus beckoned him to come and walk on the water. Peter, by faith in who called him, stepped out of that boat onto the water. That was an act of faith. When I was a teenager in the summertime, Pete Hill, that's Pete Hill of Fred Hill Materials, and I water skied day after day after day. That's where I knew what working for a living was all about. And yes, we were quite good. When you slalom ski, you stand on the dock and you put that ski on your foot, and as the boat goes out, you say, hit it, and just before that rope comes tight, you leap out onto the water, and if it all works right, suddenly you're flying across the top of the water. It's an act of faith that that motor has enough power to keep you up. Faith is the soul leaping forth to embrace the Christ in whom it believes. Our fourth point, the source of faith. There's the divine side and there's the human side. And of course, on the divine side, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and we'll support each of those from Scripture. Faith is the work of the triune God, God the Father, Romans 12:3, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Every man, therefore, has the inward potential of faith. Can I tell you a story? Children, are you listening? Deep in the jungle, south coast of Irian Jaya, we were going to do a reconnaissance back in the backcountry. Senior missionary to his, and his wife, a new missionary there, and his wife and myself. We got in two canoes, dugout canoes. We got four Sawi paddlers to paddle us, and off we went. This is part of a Sawi paddle. This is the bottom part, of course, and this is the top part. And again, they are about that far apart. The top is a spear, and so a good Sawi, when you have his paddle, he also always has his spear, right? Good planning, good engineering. And they paddle, they stand in their canoes, and they paddle for hours like this. The missionaries sit in the bottom of the canoe, I mean way down in the bottom, not in the water, there's always water there, but a piece of wood or something, because those canoes are going like that all the time. The Sawis have been standing in these since they're little kids, and their ankles continually make adjustments, their body stays erect, and the canoe's going like that. When you're sitting even down low, you think they're trying to dump you in the water all the time. You get as low as you can. I think I saw one. Missionaries rarely stand up in the canoe. Of course, hippie drag racer, I have to stand up in the canoe. I've got to do things different. So, anyway, it's nice to be different sometimes. So here we go off in the back country. We came to a Sawi village. Our Sawi paddlers went back to their village, and we preached for a couple of days. I preached through an interpreter through John. The other two men preached. We were there a couple days. We had some sporting events. And then we asked if some of their men would take us down the river further. And they didn't want to, because further down river is an Osmot village. The Osmots and the Sawis have been killing and eating each other for, long time. But finally, four brave men, agreed to paddle us downstream. One reason they would do that is because they had five missionaries with them. Kind of gave them a little validation. They would never go down there by themselves. So we paddled down the stream a ways, 5 miles or whatever. We come around a corner, and here's a big Osmot village. We surprised them. We pull in. Big event when five Tuons, that's missionaries, show up. I mean, big event, like having the president walk in the door here. It's a really big deal. The women and the children hide. Because historically, enemies might come and not treat the women and children well. So the women and children hide, but the men come down. The chief and the seniors, the elders, lifespan is 45 years, so they aren't too old. And John tried to speak to them in Sawi. That didn't work at all. So he got out his 100-word list. You use a 100-word list to compare language groups so you know where the dividing line is. Oh, those are all Sawis. Oh, from here over, they're all Osmots. So we sat down on some dugout canoes, upside down there, and the Osmot men sat down, about eight of them. And John, going through his 100-word list, would point out a canoe and ask for their word for it. A paddle, the river, a house, the pig, banana. And he's cross-referencing Sawi words with Osmot words, seeing if there's any parallel. These two tribes living not 10 miles apart, no similar words. Amazing. It's from all those years of being warring people. It's just hard to believe. There are 600 languages in the area of the state of California. Anyway, that's what exists. So John is beginning to go through his 100-word list, and one of the Sawi men standing there says, "Tuan, missionary, we need to leave." And John says, "No, I haven't got through my list yet." And the Sawi said, "Tuan, we need to leave." John looks at the Sawi, meets his eyes, and sees on his face that Sawi has street knowledge, we'd call it here. He's standing back and observing what's going on in this Osmot village, and he's saying, "Tuan, there's things going on here that you're not aware of. This isn't going in a good direction. We need to leave." John honors the Sawi's perception and says to the ladies, quietly and slowly with smiles, walk down to the canoes. As they wander off, he says, "Keith, you also wander down to the canoe." Then he tells Jim, "Go down and join Keith and the ladies at the canoes." Then John, still working on his 100-word list, wanders this way and tells the Sawis, "Go down and get the canoes ready to go." He's speaking in Sawi that none of the Osmots understand. After we're all at the canoe, John wanders over with his 100-word list, and we get in the canoes and we push off, and nothing happened. Had it happened, you'd never heard from us again. We would have disappeared into the jungle. It would have been months before anyone would even have any idea what had happened to us. From there, we're going downstream. The river hardly flows at all. I say downstream, the jungle is flat. But it's gradually, the water is working its way out of the jungle out towards the ocean. We travel for a few more hours and we come to the village of Ochinep, where those came from. Again, we beach the canoe, big excitement. The chief and the elders came and welcomed us and said, "There's a house there that no one's living in. You people can stay in that house. Won't you stay here?" So the ladies and us started moving things to the house, and the chief said, no, the ladies go to the house. You men come with us. He said, "Get back in your canoes and come with us." And I said to John, what's this about? And he said, "I don't know, there's something they want to show us." So we got hesitantly back into our canoes with our Sawi paddlers, and the Osmot got in their canoes, and we went 50 yards up into the jungle, narrow, 8 feet wide, water, dark, so much canopy in the jungle that it's dark. They beached their canoes, they had us get out of their canoes, and they stood there, and they were so pleased to show us the hill. The hill was some land that was 3 feet above the water, about that high above the water. It's the highest thing they'd ever seen. They live in the jungle. There's a mountain range down the back of that's got 10,000-foot mountains on them 50 miles away. They've never seen them. They live in the jungle. They're so pleased about this high ground. And they said, "Tuan, if you'll come in here and live, we'll give you this hill." "Yeah. Wow." "And after you come, we'll go out in the jungle and we'll bring in wood and we'll build a house for you. Won't you please come and live on this hill in your house? And after we've built a house for you, we'll go out again and we'll bring in more wood and we'll build a school and you can teach our children. Won't you please come? And after we've built a house and a school, we'll go out a third time, we'll bring in more wood, and we'll build a greja. And a greja is a church. And you can teach us about God. Won't you please come? 1,500 people, an open door for the gospel." And John said to him, "Chief, I'll go back to my country, Canada, and I'll tell the chief of all missionaries that you've asked for a missionary to come and that you'll build a house, a school, and a church for them. But Chief, don't expect a missionary to come. Because you see, Chief, there are no more missionaries to send from my country. Open door for the gospel. And now, 30 years later, I don't know that there is yet the word of God being taught at Ochinep. Every year in North America, thousands of healthy young people graduate from Bible schools, and far too many disappear into the woodwork. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, he said. Don't think that Ochinep is the only place where there are thousands of places like that. But here in the jungles, according as God has dealt to every man, even the Osmots, the measure of faith. The ground was fertile there. The seed needed to be planted and watered. They needed someone to come there, and that wouldn't be easy calling. The snakes, the mosquitoes, cannibals. It's not an easy calling. Not to be done lightly. But not enough Bible school seniors say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Some have more faith than others, for faith is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. So the fourth source of faith, again, we had God the Father, the divine side, and God the Son, Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Luke 17, 5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We all have faith, and as we exercise it, and pray, our faith grows. The source of our faith, also the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, faith is also part of the fruit of the Spirit. So the source of our faith, the divine side, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's also the human side of faith, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we read the stories and we listen to sermons, our faith grows. We listen to the word preached. Acts 4:4 says the people heard the word. They believed. They had faith. Mark 9:24, the Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. May this be our confession and prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Matthew 17:19, Jesus tells his disciple, they were saying there are demons that we tried to cast out and we couldn't cast them out, Lord. And he said, no, this type of demons only come out by prayer and fasting accompanied by a vital, living faith in the Lord. All right, the object of our faith, our fifth point, the Word of God. Faith must never be a nebulous thing called faith. It must be faith in the Word of God. Faith accepts the statements of the Bible as the revealed Word of God, as the very Word of the true and genuine, as it is true and genuine. The object of our faith is the person of Christ. Faith in itself is not a Savior. Faith is a person. Faith's in a person, the divine person of Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is not a meritorious thing in itself, but the medium by which I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. All right, we've finished our fifth point. Let's go to number six, the principle of faith. When you go to the grocery store and you buy a carton of milk, you don't open it and look and see if there's milk inside. You trust the label and say, this is milk. You trust the grocer. When you go to the dentist and have your teeth fixed, he doesn't ask you to pay up front. Well, maybe on some occasions, doesn't ask you to pay up front. He trusts that after he's finished the work, you will pay him. Faith is putting confidence in him and in his word. It's resting on the testimony of the individual involved, be it the grocer, the dentist, or the Lord. Faith is trusting in faith. Trusting in the Lord. The results of faith, our seventh point. Many wonderful results. We are saved by faith, Genesis 15:6. And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The results of faith, we receive Christ by faith, John 1:12, even to those that believe on his name, by faith. We are justified by faith, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith. We become children of God by faith, Galatians 3:26. We are sanctified by faith, Acts 26:18. We are kept by faith. You see how pivotal this is? 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Faith brings rest, Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. It is one of the most blessed gifts for us of faith, is finding that rest, that the work indeed, as Jesus proclaimed, is finished. Our sins are covered. All the exploits of Hebrews chapter 11, there's a month of preaching there, are possible by those who have faith. Our eternal destiny is determined by our faith or the lack of it, whether we spend eternity in heaven or in hell. So in conclusion, I like to say in conclusion because I've been in enough churches where sitting in the pews where the pastor says in conclusion and I see the woman in front of me fishing around for her high heels. You know, get my shoes back on again. We're gonna end this now. I always think of that when I say conclusion. Matthew 17:20, I, Jesus, say unto you, if you have a grain of faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved from there, and it will move. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus attributes a kind of omnipotence, a kind of all power to faith. He said the disciples will do greater things than their master. Hebrews 4:2, for unto us the gospel preached as well as excuse me. For unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Pray that the word we give in sermons and in our conversation is mixed with faith on the part of the hearers. The great question for the Christian is not what can I do, but how much can I believe? How big is your God? I'm thinking of David and Sarah and how big their God is, the wonderful miracle that's taken place in their family. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto them, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So it's appropriate to pray, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief, increase my faith. Well, children, can we do another story? Okay, Keith, if you insist. Well, all right. I was a long-haul trucker for a while, and this is a true story. A trucker told me he was down in Louisiana, his truck broke down. He was going to be stuck at the repair place for several days, and he's sitting out front, and this kindly old African-American gentleman pulls up in his truck. While he's gassing his truck, they strike up a conversation, and finds out that the truck driver's going to be there for a while, and so he says, hey, I'm going fishing. Do you like to fish? And the trucker says, well, yeah, I've done a little fishing. He says, well, I'll teach you how to catch catfish. So, black guy, I say respectfully, tells the trucker, get a sandwich out of the deli there, and we'll put it in my cooler, and we'll go do some fishing. So he gets the sandwich, and gets in the truck, put my chair away, I shouldn't have. And off they go down the freeway. They drive the freeway for a ways. They get off the freeway onto a secondary road. They drive the secondary road for a while, they get off in a dirt road. They drive the dirt road for a while, they get off on a wide path full of ruts that the truck bounces down and finally gets to a dead end out there in the bayou. So the trucker's figuring, we're going to do some fishing. But the old black man, he opened his cooler, and he takes out a dozen hard-boiled eggs. Sitting there in the truck, he opens his eggs up, and he sits there and peels the eggs, and when he gets all done peeling, he threw it right out of the truck. And the trucker thought, well, that must have been a bad egg. It was probably a bad egg. So he starts in his second egg. This one's yours, Herschel. He So he starts on his second egg, and he gets it all peeled, and he throws it out of the truck. And then he closes up his eggs, he puts it back in the cooler, and off they go down to the waterfront. He said, I'll take the net and the cooler, and you get the poles out of the back, and we'll go do some fishing. So it's a true story told to me by a trucker. So they walk down a ways, and they sit down by the water there. It's in a bit of a clearing, not quite as big as the platform is here. And once again, the wonderful old black man gets out his eggs, and there's no more in here. I won't be throwing any more. And he peels the egg, peels, and he throws one over here, and he peels another and throws it over there, and he throws them over here until he's got a ring of eggs around behind him. And the trucker says, I can't stand it any longer. What's the deal with the hard-boiled eggs? And he said, oh, that's right, you're not from around here. We've got poisonous snakes in this swamp like you can't believe. Venomous, you don't want to get bit by one of these snakes. And I hate snakes. But there's one thing that a snake cannot pass up, and that's a hard-boiled egg. So as long as we're sitting here fishing, we're going to keep an eye on this ring of eggs. And as long as they're there, we're going to keep fishing. But if we look back and see that some of those eggs are disappearing, whew, we're out of here. And as we approach the truck, those first two eggs, that's to let us know if there's any snakes around the truck. The old man had absolute confidence, faith in hard-boiled eggs to save his life. The Old Testament in Numbers 21 tells about snakes in the desert. Remember, the Israelites were getting bitten by venomous snakes. And they go to Moses and say, help, these snakes are killing us. And so Moses goes to God and says, what's the deal with the snakes? And God says, all right, here's the deal, Moses. Make a staff and get a bronze serpent and put on the staff and stick it in the ground and tell the people, if you get bitten by a poisonous snake, look at the staff and you'll live. They didn't have to be next to the staff. They didn't have to understand how it worked. They could be far off and only see it faintly. You just needed to look and live. Today we look to Jesus. He's not on the cross, he's risen. By faith we claim the truths of the Bible and seek thereby forgiveness and eternal life. How silly for someone bitten by the snake to not look at the staff. How silly today for people not to look to Jesus for healing and thereby obtain forgiveness and eternal life. The Sahwa in the jungle realized the danger, and he took action. The black man realized the danger, and he took action. The Israelites realized the danger, and they took action. For us, the Bible says we're sinners separated from God, but the price has been paid, and it's a free gift. By grace, through faith, and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Look and live. It works exactly the same way now as it did in the desert when the children of Israel were getting bit by the snake. Let's pray together. Father God, for this glorious truth, which is simple enough for our children to grasp, we give you thanks. For the blessed price that was paid, we remembered it this morning with our communion service, the shed blood that paid that price that we owed but couldn't pay, and he paid that price that he didn't owe. Lord, I pray for understanding for our children each day. As they get older, might they be able to comprehend the wonderful gift of God that we've discussed this morning. Glorify yourself with these truths, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsville, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.